We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
From Learfield, welcome to Flight Report, the latest news from EWU Athletics, spanning all sports, events, and key information. Fly with us. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Eagles, Larry Weir.
Well, I do believe it's high time for our first Flight Report podcast for 2019. So welcome to Flight Report. It's where we talk about Eastern Washington University athletics. Each week, I'll talk to coaches, administrators, sometimes players, and former players. This week on Flight Report, we will talk to football coach Aaron Best, who has signed a two-year extension to his contract. So he'll be the head football coach at Eastern through the 2024 season. And we'll also talk to Director of Athletics, Lynn Hickey. And we'll discuss many subjects with Lynn, including football scheduling for 2019. If you're listening to this on Friday, as this podcast is released, there will be an announcement later today at some point on the 2019 and, I understand, the 2020 football schedules. We'll also get an update on what's going on with the architects regarding the stadium remodel. We'll get Lynn's reaction to Frisco, her reaction to signing Aaron Best to that two-year contract extension, and a whole lot more. In Frisco last week, I was able to get a lot of audio from former players, most of it played in the pregame or the halftime broadcast. But a lot of you were down there, and you didn't get an opportunity to hear that. So I got interviews with Eric Meyer, Renard Williams, Nick Edwards, Ed Simmons, Tywan Jones, Bo Baldwin, and others. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to play a lot of that audio for you. Not this week, but we'll do that next week and maybe the week after that. Or maybe we'll do two next week. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I'll play a lot of that audio. Plus, we had a lot of player audio. As part of that audio, Spencer Blackburn pretty much said that he's going to try for a sixth year at Eastern. He and several of the seniors, as I understand it, Zach Eagle, Caleb Laval, Blackburn, Cole Karstetter, Matt Meyer, all are eligible to apply for a sixth year at Gage Gubrud. All could apply for a sixth year. The Spokesman Review reported on Thursday that Gubrud has put his name into the transfer portal, graduate transfer portal, for other schools to contact him. And so we'll see what Gage elects to do in 2019. That was one of the interviews I had in Frisco, and Gage said his thought at the time was to try to go professional. and he hadn't really thought about a sixth year. But maybe he's thought more about it. Maybe that's something that's growing on him after that ball game. Maybe he doesn't want to go out with his college career that way. Maybe he's talked to someone who told him that he'd be better off trying to play another year of college ball. I don't know. Now, just because a player says that they have interest in coming back for a sixth year of eligibility doesn't mean they're going to do it. The NCAA still has to grant permission for all these players or has to approve those sixth-year eligibility situation. But I would think for a lot of these guys, it's basically going to be a rubber stamp. For guys like Eagle and Gubru, who did play part of the season, they didn't exceed that one-third limit as far as games played, but one would think maybe that won't be quite as much of a rubber stamp. Or if a player missed one or played in one or two games in a season, you know, maybe you don't get your sixth year in that situation. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what the NCAA has to say. But appears as though at least a few of the 27 seniors may be back in Cheney, one or two or three or however many it may be, which would be good news, especially if some of those returnees came on the offensive line. We're going to talk with head coach Aaron Best about the 2019 season a little bit. We'll look back at the 2018 season as well. That's coming up here. We had basketball in Cheney and in Missoula last night. The Eagle men's and women's teams both were in action. Eagle men defeated Montana, and that's the second straight year they've beaten Montana at home in Cheney. Final score of 78-72. They had five players in double-figure scoring, and this is a lot different team when Mason Peatling is playing for this ball club. And Peatling was in foul trouble, but he still scored 17 points to lead five in double figures. And Tyler Kidd is a walk-on guard who is a little bit of a different player than what Eastern has had in the past. He's small, he's quick, and they put him into the starting lineup for the first time in the ball game on Thursday night, and he performed very well. He had some turnovers early on, had four turnovers in the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game, only had one turnover after that, had 13 points, four rebounds at 5'9" maybe, and had five assists in the ball game. And he's generally a pest defensively. So congratulations to the Eagle men for a big win, and congratulations to the Eagle women as well, as they came up with a big win defeating Montana in Missoula, which is really hard to do to win that ball game. And congratulations to Capri Morrow. She passed the 1,000-point mark in her Eagle career and is continuing onwards. So both the Eagle men's and women's teams are 2-3. Neither team will play again until Saturday the 19th. Men will be at home against Montana State. Women will play at Montana State. Part of the vagaries in the schedule when you have an odd-numbered amount of teams in the league. Big Sky has 11 in the league in basketball, so you're going to have odd schedules. And right now the Eastern Eagle men's and women's teams are going through that, but at least they're not Montana or Montana State. Montana goes from Cheney to Greeley, and then they have to come back over here next week to play at the University of Idaho. Montana State goes from here home, and then went from Idaho home. They played at Idaho on Thursday night, then they went home, and then they will play Northern Colorado on Monday at home, but then they have to come back to Cheney again, back over into Eastern Washington the following week. In fact, Brian Fish, their head basketball coach, decided he was going to play two additional guarantee games this year and bring in an extra couple $100,000 so his team could fly to Idaho and his team could fly to Eastern. And when the time comes, his team can fly to Greeley because that'll be a one-off deal there. So it'll save them a lot of time on the bus with the fact that they had to make two trips over into Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. All right, so football wrapped up their season last week with a loss in the national championship game against North Dakota State. Let's hear about that. Let's hear about the contract extension. Let's look ahead to 2019 with Eagle football coach Aaron Best. All right, Coach, first off, congratulations. Announced on Thursday, two-year contract extension. You're locked up through 2024 now.
Seems like a decade from now, I'll tell you that, when you mentioned the 2020s. But it's a testament to this university the support we have, the amazing staff that we work with daily, and then above all else, the players that we work with almost hourly. I'm a direct reflection of what's around us, what's available to us, and what we do with it on a daily basis. So a lot of hard work's been put in by a lot of people, to be able to be with these players, with these coaches for an inordinate amount of time, I couldn't be blessed, couldn't be happier. My family is extremely eagle bound and eagle proud, and my family at home, that is. And so I'm just blessed with the opportunity that we get to do this for a lot longer in the future.
Absolutely, and it can't hurt recruiting any at all, which you're going through some big weekends coming up here over the next 3 weeks, and even for the 2020 class, because you're going to be here through those guys as well.
It is. It's important. In this day and age, I think it's darn near mandatory for a guy that is looking to sign with an institution to know that there's stability in the program from the time they get on campus to the time they leave campus. And so I think that was important. I think that's timing is everything. It's not the only thing, but it's everything. And I think the timing of this is great to know that those guys that are going to come on campus are going to know that they're going to be under the same guidance for their entire career here.
All right, so football game Saturday. Obviously, you don't go down there to lose a national championship game. And the fact that you got to the national championship game is nice, but it doesn't soothe the wound necessarily. So what's been going through your mind, the team's mind, et cetera, the coaches, staff members over the last few days?
Well, we're kind of getting our bearings straight. After the game, hard-fought game, we play every game to win, and we prepared to win. We played in parts good enough to win. But when you have self-inflicted wounds, self-inflicted penalties, self-inflicted not great execution in all three phases, it's hard to overcome anybody, much less someone in the national championship game. Speaks volumes for this program, where it's been, where it still is, to be playing for national championships. And again, we hosted three playoff games on our home field, which that allows you the opportunity to play in Frisco, if that is the case. And we did that with a lot of chips that were down for a better part of the year. And so we overcame a lot of adversity together. We battled together. We competed together, and we competed at the highest level. On January 5th, it just ended up being short on the scoreboard end of things. And so had we got off to a better start, I thought we kind of hit some strides at times in that game. But in those situations against that opponent being North Dakota State, you don't have to play perfect. That's not what we're looking to play. But you've got to execute a bit better, especially early on, where we got ourselves behind the eight ball a little bit with a few plays that were not just 10-yard penalties. There are 40-yard games with the 10-yard penalty. So really that played out as a 50-yard penalty a couple different times. And so we executed the fake field goal to the fullest extent. And I thought we did some really good things in certain moments of that game that gave us a chance to win. But against a team that's going to run the ball, control the clock, you've got to be productive on first down. We just weren't as productive. We'd like to be on both sides of the ball first down. But until that last score by Easton Stick, that 46-yard run, I mean, we're a possession away. And I felt good about where we're at and what we did up to that point, even though we did have all those self-inflicted hurdles, if you will, along the way. So it says a ton about those 27 seniors and about all those guys that were in tow with those 27 seniors, this staff, this administration, that we're going to battle every step of the way, even though the waves seem to get higher at times throughout the game. But proud. Not happy, but still hungry. But it obviously we made memories, and that will last a lifetime.
The seniors who played their last game on that field, that wasn't, again, the outcome they wanted. But when they look back on this 10 years from now, they're going to be proud about the season they had.
No doubt. Anybody that plays for a national championship, there's one of two. And the hard part about that game, no matter what level it is, someone's really elated – and someone is frustrated, you know, so there's no real in between when the clock hits four zeros. And so we're on the wrong side of things in that one. We just ran out of time, but the hardest time we ran out of is with those seniors. It's hard to fight those emotions after it's all said and done, knowing that that team, the last time we're going to be together in one room together, was that locker room in Frisco. And so the plane flight had nothing but good things to say to those seniors. A lot of hugs, a lot of smiles, a lot of tears, a lot of pent-up emotion with all those seniors, because there were a lot of four-year or mainly five-year seniors, a couple four-year seniors, and then even two six-year seniors. So there's a lot of guys that didn't come in at the same time but left at the same time, and you won't be able to there's no blemish on the resume, even though we didn't end up on the right side of the scoreboard.
An injury-riddled season, we've talked about that, but one thing it did is it allowed you to get a lot of guys some experience going into 2019 that weren't going to get a lot of experience coming in. Eric Berrier, Chris Ojo would have played a fair amount, but he played more once Calhoun went down. Dehonte Hayes, Callan Kreiner, and the list goes on. So the look for 2019, or the outlook for 2019, is going to be strong.
It certainly becomes stronger because those guys have been on the gridiron and played really well, especially at the end of the season. I felt like we got a bit better, if you will, even though we're losing some of our key cogs. Especially that Portland State game. We lost, I think, five guys in that game for an extended period of time. And so we fought it. We competed with it. We got arguably better because of it, because guys were thrust into a role they know they had. They weren't looking behind themselves anymore because there's no one else behind them. They were eyes forward and ready to roll. So there was a lot of opportunities for those guys to capture in the 2018 campaign that maybe they wouldn't have captured until 2019. So with every substitute, there becomes an opportunity, and I think our guys did a fabulous job of seizing those opportunities. And like you said, it makes for a better prognostication on paper, if you will, going into 2019 with a bunch of those guys having multiple games on their resume.
So you've got this little look ahead to 2019. You've got Eric Berrier back. You've got Antoine Custer Jr. back. You've got a number of running backs. You've got a number of wide receivers. You've got a number of tight ends. You've got a number of offensive linemen coming back, and the offensive unit on paper again, and not to mention the kids that are redshirting this year, looks like it's going to be a formidable crew.
Yeah, and that's one thing that we won't waver around here is the standard, and we're going to play championship caliber football. And it's got to be year-round. You know, the in-season starts in the off-season. There's no doubt about it. Championships are not won in the fall. They're cemented or substantiated in the fall. Championships are won in the off-season. Championships are won with leadership, with a player-driven team, a player coach team, if you will. Accountability plays high in that role. So I think our main focus as we head into the off season, which is already upon us, is to find the next caliber of leaders. And those don't just have to be the seniors to be. They could be guys coming off redshirt and positional leaders, and guys that may come back for a sixth fall may become leaders that maybe weren't as big of leaders in their fifth fall. So there's a lot of variables every season. Luck's got to play into that. But certainly we're hungry. We haven't quite flipped the page yet on 2018 until we get together as a team for a team meeting and or workouts in the weight room. But certainly they've earned this time off physically and mentally to be able to just concentrate on the schoolwork first 2 weeks of school. And then we'll reconvene with our 2019 able bodies, and we'll start our game plan for the next 11 months.
Defensively, you get a couple of ends back. You get a bunch of defensive tackles back. You've got some linebackers returning to the fray, and you're going to have a lot of depth at safety. One area, cornerback. In the other area, kicker and punter. So are those two concerns at this point in time, and how do you go about filling those concerns?
I think those are earmarked places where we need the most help. It's certainly corner, and obviously replacing Roldan isn't going to be easy. I think it's a great year this fall, and again, if fall won't happen successfully until you put together an off season and a spring ball and a summer program. But I think I'm excited about that defense again, building on what they did this year to ensure that we're not just a one-year wonder on defense, that we can be consistent, that we can maintain greatness in the kicking game. And so we have a ton of parts back, but it takes more than just parts to run the machine. And so there's a lot of variables that go into that as well. And so I'm excited to see those guys, again, come back with a chip on their shoulder to know that that we weren't just prepared with a ton of seniors starting on defense and we're going to play 1 year of really good football on defense. They've got the ability to do this again this fall, but until we get to that point, there's a ton of work to be done prior to that that August practice.
With very few corners getting much playing time this year that weren't seniors, this is not a program that's built on transfers, but do you go out and get a graduate transfer or a junior college transfer or a four-year transfer or two here in the next couple of months?
You know, we never close the door on anything, Larry. It's not something that we live on by any means, but over the course of time since I've been here as an assistant, doors have opened for some guys, and we've closed the doors on some guys that wanted to be here from a graduate or transfer status. And so it's certainly something that we will look at, but we won't we won't press panic. We still have some young guys we believe in, but we'll come together as a staff. We've already kind of talked about things prior to, you know, the 2019 class being signed, as far as what we may look for, what we may look at, and what we may bring in to this locker room. But by no means are we going to substitute talent for work ethic and personality as far as fitting in that locker room, because that is where we're most protective as coaches, is do they fit in what we do off the field, because certainly most people will fit into what we do on the field. And so we'll look at all we'll look at all ways to make ourselves better, but certainly on defense, that would be a spot where we need to fill a few spots with signees and or potential grad transfers.
2019 preparations, are they going to be delayed at all? I'm talking winter conditioning, being as how you played, what, 7 weeks later this season than you did last year?
Delayed to a certain degree, because these guys played physically through the better part of January 5th. We gave the kids 2 weeks off physically to get themselves ready and focused on school, because about 36 hours after the game, after we got into town, they're in the classroom. And so that was different. That was different for everybody, even us as coaches, getting back in the meeting room and having meetings, you know, just 5 days, 6 days after you competed for a national championship. But those are good problems to have. So we'll get back into the swing of things. It didn't inhibit our opportunity to get better and bigger in the weight room. We'll just do it a week later. So normal protocol is a week off. In this case, we went 2 weeks off. So we'll hit it, but it's what we need based on what we did. So every year is different. Every senior class is different. Every meeting's different. You've got to get a feel for your surroundings and do what's best for your team going forward, not what was best 5 years ago or what worked 10 years ago. And so we feel that's the best, after talk with Nate Berry, our strength coach, that give these guys some time off, regroup, re-energize, and hit this thing running come 2 weeks from now.
All right, so recruiting, is that the main focus at this point in time?
It is, and just making sure our guys are going to class, staying up on things, hitting the training room. Some of these guys are still in rehab mode. Some of these guys are in prehab mode to get themselves into the weight room mode, if you will. And so we've got to recruit. We've got to mentor. We got to coach. We got to teach. We got to be parents. You know, we got to be husbands. And so this can be, in a weird way, the trickiest part of the year, because you're doing a lot of things coming off the run that we just had. And so obviously our focus is always going to be our student athletes on campus, but the next focus without question has got to be the guys that we are courting to be the next class to be on campus. And so we signed probably half the guys we're going to anticipate signing as a whole class. So yes, there's about 8 or 9 guys out there that we need to put energy and effort in to bring this class to about 16 to 18 individuals. And so it's tricky, but it's what makes this job fun.
Coach, thanks for the time. Congratulations on a great year and on the contract extension. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Larry. Always a pleasure. And I know there's not a better one out there, and I really mean that, not just because, you know, you and I have these chats once a week. We're blessed with the opportunity to have you and Dave Cook being the GOATs in your profession in this conference and from a national landscape. So don't get it twisted. Every day we're very appreciative of what you guys do, not only for the school, but for the profession, but also for the football team. So we appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate that.
The Eagle men's basketball team back in action again on Saturday the 19th as they take on Montana State. Game time 2 o'clock. And then a special day coming up as the Eagle women will be at home on Thursday the 24th against Portland State. That's their annual Kids Day game. Usually it's played in December against a lower level team. But really, Eastern didn't have much of that home games against teams like that on their schedule, so they couldn't get that done then. And so they will play their annual Kids Day game against Portland State on the 24th. That's Thursday. That's their next home game. Should be a lot of fun. There's thousands of kids that are going to be there. It's fun just to watch the kids, and it'll be an important game for the Eagle women as they host Portland State. So those are the next games for the Eagle men's and women's teams. You can go online to GoEags.com, click on the tickets link for more information.
Director of Athletics Lynn Hickey joins us now, and we just talked to Coach Best, and so tremendous news coming down on Thursday about his two-year contract extension, so he's locked up through 2024.
Yes, it was very important. He's the leader of our program and has done an outstanding job in a very short tenure, but we want to keep him as an Eagle. And so have offered the extension. We've still got some financial details that we met again today, and we're working through some things for him and his staff. But we wanted to make sure that he knew the two-year extension was there so that we could get that word out as the recruiting starts.
Absolutely. Great news for kids they're recruiting right now and kids they'll be recruiting for the 2020 class, and their coach will be on campus for a while, and that makes a lot of difference.
Yeah, no, I think when you look at successful programs, it's programs that's been able to keep coaching groups together. And so the better job we can, and as good as we are, we're going to occasionally lose assistant coaches. I mean, that's part of the business, and that just shows the quality of our program. But, you know, we want to keep our leader here, and we needed to step up and make this commitment. And hopefully, as the years progress, we can do even more for him.
All right, so last week was the national championship game in Fargo. Obviously, it's a long way to go to lose the championship game, but still tremendous season, and there was a great turnout of Eagles in Frisco.
Yeah, it was a great event. It was an honor to be there, and I think everybody was disappointed after the game because, you know, the number of penalties we had and some things that – you know, what may be our play, and you've got to give North Dakota State some credit for that. But you have 9 starters out, you have a significant number of penalties, and then you still have a chance to win the game. That's how good we were. And but it was a great event. I really appreciated the fans that came out, the level of support that was shown, and the level of support from our university. You know, I think when I went to the alumni event Friday night, the first thing he asked me was, how much money are we going to make off this championship? We don't make a dime, you know, and you have to pay for your own band and cheer to go there. The NCAA doesn't handle this like a basketball Final Four. And people get, I think they get confused. The on the FBS side, the bowl games, that's not an NCAA event. Those are individual cities with their bowls. And so, you know, there was a tremendous commitment by the university, by donors, to help us get there and to travel in the right way. The NCAA reimburses for 145 of our travel party. Other than that, you know, we had to put everything together. But a great group. Everybody had a really good time. Had a wonderful event Friday night where we had, I think, probably close to 150 former players come to the hotel, and they all met, and that was wonderful to see. North Dakota State is a machine. It was not a neutral site. I think that was what was interesting about the experience. You know, one of the streets by the stadium is named Bison Avenue. So, but, you know, they had probably 11,000 people in the stands. I mean, they had purchased all the hotel rooms. So they've been there so many times that there's a real affinity for them, and that's something that we want to change. We need to get that championship often enough that when people in Frisco think about the FCS championship, that they think about Eastern Washington.
One inherent advantage they have is that it's a drivable distance right. for them. It's about 1,000 miles, where it's closer to 2,000 for Eastern fans. So that makes a big difference just as far as cost goes, because I know there were several fans that, you know, once airline prices were over $1,000 a person to get down there, they just couldn't do it.
Yeah, and the airlines are really good during bowl season, and that time of the year they jump all the prices up. So, you know, they're ready to make money too. Yeah, real disadvantage, like even the band. You know, North Dakota State was able to bust their band down. There was no way we could do that. Not only the distance, but the weather, if we got caught in a pass with the kids on a bus. Once again, Eagle grit, resilient, loyal, really believe in what we're doing, and they made the commitment and the effort. And we had a great time. I mean, everybody had a great time. And just really proud of our kids. I think the thing that really kind of exemplified what our program is, there were two things. There was a picture of some of our players on the field after the game, meeting a young North Dakota State fan. But when I was standing on the sideline before the game, one of our Learfield reps had brought his son to the game, and as our guys were coming from the end zone to line up for the national anthem, this little kid stepped out two steps away from his father, stuck his hand out, and I'm going, oh, guys, please give him a high five. Every one of our players gave him a high five. Some of them stopped and shook his hand and spoke to him. And this is a group of our students who have never been to a national championship getting ready to line up right before the game. That's who we are. That's who Aaron Best is. And that's why we're champions.
All right. So from this, we still have a lot of things to talk about for 2019 and beyond. 2019 football schedule. What does it look like? What do we know as we're recording this? What can you tell us?
Well, there will be an announcement today on what this coming season and the 2020 season is. We're done, and so we're really anxious to get it out. We had to complete one contract this week. We got that done yesterday. And so it's going to be exciting to release that. And then we want to start selling season tickets. We're not going to wait till April or May. We're going to start selling them and get everybody on board. So I think this next season is a good schedule. We don't have the Montanas and some of those people on our home field, just the way the schedule for the conference worked out. The 2020 schedule is unbelievable, the lineup of conference teams we have. But next season is a good schedule. And with, when you're saying goodbye to 27, 28 seniors and kind of refreshing everything, I think when you look at the schedule, you can see that we can be very competitive and we can make another run at a championship.
For the folks that are listening to this when this podcast is released on Friday morning, is this an 11-game schedule? Is this a 12-game schedule? Because this is one of the years where FCS schools can play a 12-game schedule.
Yeah, it will be 12 games. Yeah, so we'll have 12 games, and so all that will be announced. And so we need everybody on board and buying tickets and getting ready. It's kind of hard to think right now that we're getting ready to start this all over again, you know. But get your tailgate passes and all that. But we want to accommodate the fans as best we can to really jump on this earlier. But it's fun to start looking at the schedule and starting to predict things and all that. But everything will be out this weekend, and people can start looking at it and deciding what they want to do.
That's going to be fantastic. And then also coming off a national championship game season probably is a good time maybe to start thinking about raising funds for a football stadium, et cetera. So what can you tell us as to what's going on as far as the architects and when they may have that plan released?
We had they had a faculty staff group that they needed to meet with this week. So they finished that yesterday. There's one more student group that they were meeting with this week. We had to wait for school to get started. So all the meetings are done, and so we're still anticipating that the end of this month or the first week in February that we'll get maybe their first report back. and start looking at renderings and seeing exactly what they think that we need to do, what the costs would be, how do we put a business plan together. And, yeah, we're ready for people to start naming rooms and doors and sidewalks. Anything you want to put your name on, we will have a price for it. But it's going to be fun to see what they come up with. And, you know, at the same time, we've got to initiate an annual fundraising effort with the Eagle Athletic Fund, because we want to build a championship program. And that is much more than just putting funds into the venue. We've got scholarship monies we need to raise. We've got programming for the student athletes. We need a nutrition station. You know, I saw this week where Northern Arizona announced their new nutrition station that they built with their Pepsi contract. You know, we're behind on some of those things. And so we're really looking forward to jumping in and getting a lot of those new initiatives done.
And that's the key thing, I think, because not a lot of us have $500,000 or $250,000 or $1 million or more that we can turn into a project like this, but we may have $1,000 or whatever, and that's what we need to help continue these programs and help these programs grow. They may not go toward building a new football stadium, but they'll go toward building a better athletic department.
Right. Now, we need an experience. I think a lot of times what people forget is the guys are in the stadium 5 or 6 times a year. Okay, 365 days a year, we're in the training room, their locker room, the coaches' offices, all that back of house. We need programming. We need nutrition. We need counselors. We need academic advisors. We need summer school. You know, I talked to our strength coach, and 3 of our guys that had ACLs this year that missed the season were kids that weren't able to come to summer school. And that's the time of year when you're really training and getting those kids strong. So we have a good program, and we have great coaches and really good kids. But we've got some resources that if we truly want to be a championship program, if we truly want to say that we are the North Dakota State of the Northwest, then we've got to add some of these initiatives and their services for our kids. This is nothing fancy for coaches. It's not an exaggeration of money. It's just giving, it's taking care of their classrooms, which we call our fields, our courts, or their classrooms for our sports. So we want them to have a great experience and to be able to meet their potential as best we can in the classroom and on the fields and courts. So we need everybody's help. We need 4,000 donors. Right now we have under 2,000. We've got to just up our numbers. We may not have the donor base right now that has a lot of million-dollar gifts or $200,000 gifts, that we have numbers that if we will all pull together and give what we can, it is pretty amazing how quickly that can multiply and we can do some really special things.
Absolutely. One more thing, football-wise, and that is if you're listening to this thing before Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, come to downtown Spokane. There's a big rally for the football team at that point in time.
Yeah, we're going to be at the mall. And, you know, ladies, who doesn't want to be at the mall on Saturday? but, yeah, we're going to try to get as some of our seniors who have graduated are not on campus right now because I didn't have start classes. So, but we should have a good share of the team there. We'll have some cheer. Part of the band's going to be there, and we're going to have the president's going to address the crowd, and Coach Bess is going to address the crowd. So it's just a way to say thank you to our fans, and I think there's going to be another proclamation from the city and the county. And so a fun event. That we can maybe meet some other new people and greet our fans.
And it's Saturday, 2 o'clock, downtown River Park Square Mall. Come on down and celebrate with the Eagles at that point in time. Let's talk about some of the other sports. The poor women basketball team. Talked to Coach Shuler the other night during the coach's show. They will have had between December, I think she said, 2nd and January 23rd, one home game. They've been able to persevere, and it's going to benefit them on the back half of the conference schedule, but it's certainly the schedule has not been a friend to them here through the first half of the season.
No, the way the conference schedules fell out this year and with the wrap-up of her non-conference games, yeah, they've been gone too much. So every once in a while, that's going to happen, and you're just going to, you know, you're going to get not the best run of show, so to speak. So, you know, they played really well the other night against Northern Colorado. Northern Colorado won the championship last year, and we pretty much had the lead the whole game, went to overtime, and then couldn't hold on. So there a lot of improvement, and our starting point guard was out, and they still did that. And the strength of Northern Colorado is their two point guards. So we're going to be okay. Everybody's got to keep their heads up and just keep working. Young group, not unlike the men's team. You know, a young group, they lost their star, Delaney, last year. I mean, there were nights where that was 40 points. That's a hard thing to replace. So they're going to be fine. And, you know, what we're working toward is that, you know, February becomes a strong month, and then when you hit the conference tournament in March, that you're a factor.
And they have on the women's team at least four true freshmen playing big roles.
Yeah, yeah. And so the future is bright, and we have some size. You know, I think what I was really pleased to see the other night against Northern Colorado, I mean, our size is good, and our kids, their two guards are outstanding. I don't know if we really have anyone at this time to match their speed and quickness. The rest of our team, we're better. We're better. So it's just a matter of continuing to work on getting the rhythm going and staying together, not getting our heads down, and then we could really finish with a good ending.
Men's team, seven different players have been out because of injury at some point this season. And the last two games have been the darndest things because against Idaho, over 30 minutes of the game, they won by, I think it was like 16 points, but in 10 minutes of the game, they lost by 18, and so they end up losing the game. Or I can't remember the exact numbers, yeah. But at any rate, it was and the same thing on Monday in Greeley. They had 33 minutes of the game where they won by 4 points, but 7 minutes at the end of the first half where they lost by 16 and they lost the game.
We are talented and they've been like a mass unit all year because of the injuries. But Shantae and I talked the other day, when you lose someone like Bogdan, think about how many times we were in a jam last year. And everybody knew, just kind of clear it out and let him go. We don't have anybody like that this year. Now, I think overall we have a lot of talent and people can do a lot of things, but you don't have that one go-to guy right now. And so changing your culture and changing the mindset of those upperclassmen that were with him and then getting leadership out of the freshmen to kind of take charge is a learning process. So I think for both our men and women's basketball team, this is very much a rebuilding year. That does not mean that we're in a bad situation or we don't have talent. It's just we're kind of starting all over again. So I think just with like Wendy's group, I think Shantae's group, by the time we get to conference play, they're going to be dangerous. But we need some seniors to kind of step up and be consistent. We need some young ones to gain some confidence and just take charge. We talked about there's about a 7-minute segment in all our games where we go flat. And then we come back. Well, when you're playing this caliber of basketball, you can't afford that. So we've got to get some consistency. So we've got to find a secret weapon somewhere to take care of those 7 minutes.
So the 19th of November or 19th of January, the Eagles at home against Montana State in men's basketball, 24th and 26th at home against Portland State and Sacramento State. And I don't know, you have not been here to witness Kids Day and the craziness that is involved there. That's the women's next home game on the 24th against Portland State. It's an 11 a.m. game. Through cooperation with the university, thousands of elementary school kids get to tour the campus, and at 11 o'clock they come to Reese Court for the game, and it's quite a sight.
No, and we at the previous institution I was at, we did the same thing. We had a day game, and it is loud because they just start cheering. They don't really sometimes know when to cheer or when not to cheer, but they're talking or screaming or singing. I think the most amazing thing is when the music comes up, they all know the dances, they all know the words, and you think, oh my goodness, they're just little kids and they know all that. So it'll be a fun day. It's a great way for our public to meet our women's basketball team, so really looking forward to that.
All right, some of the other sports start up in earnest this week. Women's tennis, picked to finish fourth in the Big Sky, highest finish that they've been predicted for in some time. They start this weekend. Track and field starts this weekend, once again, after the Candy Cane Invitational last month, where they had the dual meet against Montana. High expectations for both the indoor track and field teams, both the men and the women.
Yeah, I think, our tennis teams are better this year. both groups are better. Women's golf is definitely better. You know, they won two tournaments in the fall, so we're really looking forward. So I think our spring sports are going to do well. Track finished really strong last year in the outdoor meet when the men finished in third. So it'll be fun to see how well we can compete this year. One of the things we've been working on, we put a new surface in. The president helped us to come up with financing to put a new surface in on the field house for the tennis courts. And things kind of got messed up. And so we lost a week of practice in there because they ran out of materials. So hopefully by this time next week, everybody's in there practicing. So we've had to scramble a little bit, both for track and our tennis programs. But no, this is a time of year where everybody is really going. Volleyball will start getting ready for somewhat of a spring season. Soccer will start, so in the early spring, we have everybody going at one time. Football is kind of the lazy group right now. But it's a fun time of the year, and hopefully our spring will be really successful.
Anything we miss on that you wanted to mention here today?
No, just thank you for our fans. I mean, we almost doubled the number of home games with the addition of the three postseason games. And people had told us people will not come to postseason games. We sold out every one of them. So our staff, Devon Thomas and his staff, did an outstanding job. But people committing those weekends, I mean, three times in a row to get here. The weather, thank goodness, did cooperate. We really didn't have a bad day. But just so appreciative of how everyone stuck with us. I heard great stories about all the watch parties here in Cheney and Spokane for our team. And I just want everybody to understand that things like this just don't happen. We have to work at this together. We need everybody's help. We're going to be putting a good plan together on facilities and as well as for the programming we need for the kids, and we're going to be coming and asking. And we hope everybody will continue to be a part of things and then maybe try to do a little bit more than they did this year. 2,000 people given $50 a month, 12 months, would raise $1.2 million. You do that for 5 years, we raise $6 million. What that would mean to our program, our scholarship bill every year is $5 million. $5 million a year, not one time. So we need everybody to hang with us. We need to grow because our fans know we're really good. There's something special here. And we want to show it to the world, and in order to do that, we needed to be in those postseason playoffs.
Lynn, thanks for the time. Go Eagles.
Go Eagles.
That's going to do it for this week. You can listen to the Flight Report in many different ways. You can go to GoEagles.com, click on Fan Zone, then on Flight Report with Larry Weir, and listen from there. Or if you're a regular podcast consumer, you can subscribe or just listen through most of the major podcast sites like iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, CastBox, Radio Public, Pocket Casts, and iHeartRadio. I'll be back again next week with another edition of Flight Report. We'll have a lot of that audio from Frisco, Texas, and a lot of former football players for you, plus any other news that happens to come down the pipe between now and then, including all the details on the 2019 football schedule and a whole lot more. Don't forget, no basketball games until Saturday the 19th. Eagle men at home against Montana State, Eagle women on the road at Montana State. You can listen to the men's game starting at 1:30 with the pregame show on the Eagle Sports Network from Learfield. Thanks for listening. I'm Larry Weir.
You've been listening to Flight Report, the latest news from EWU Athletics, spanning all sports, events, and key information. Fly with us. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.